The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Popping bottles. Like a G6.
I didn't know there was a G6.
Is that a Gatorade?
No, if there's airplane. Not a G6, I think it was like, I'm in a private jet so cool it doesn't even exist yet.
Yeah, I thought the G5 was where it's at. Although, you know, maybe
I'm on to the G7.
Maybe there's a G6 that I'm not aware of.
These go to 7.
It goes to 11. I'm sorry, that's one of the great bits of all time.
Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we've made it to another Blazers bitch session.
Yes, but this one is an Emirates NBA Cup edition.
Duper!
Duper, duper.
Hey, yeah. It matters tonight. There's a special court and everything.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, man. And we don't need to spend too much time on this, but it's starting. I think the natives are starting to get restless.
Well, and that was what, like, Robert Williams came out and Klingon, that both said they kind of had an airing, and they were talking about how they got to start playing for each other and get out of their own heads. And you know, there's been a lot of people that are talking about, there's a lot of different things going on right now. Anytime in sports, the most important thing, besides just having an S ton of talent, is pulling in the same direction. I mean, that's why, like, Jim Harbaugh is a successful coach. Whatever you think about his crazy ass, he gets buy-in from guys, right? He gets guys to play hard, and he gets guys to play in roles. It's why a coach can come in any sport with the same roster and have much better results. And I think you listen to enough people right now, I think one of the problems that Portland has is, so if I were to ask Chauncey Billups, Jody, let's go with Scoot, Shaden, Klingon, and Jeremy Grant, right? That's six. And I said, what is the goal for this season and going forward? Do you not think that you would get six different answers?
Jody, Chance, who else?
I said Jody and Chance, and then I said, let's take the core players. So let's take, I'll give you the,
what you throw Cronin in there.
What you think is the core. So we'll go with Ant, Scoot, Klingon, Sharp, and do you want to throw Ayton in there?
Like, no.
Or Klingon.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would get a lot of different answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just feel like the leadership, I feel like the biggest, well, let's not bury the lead. The biggest problem is that Jody Allen does not care enough. Mm. She can say she cares. She can show up at, you know, behind the basket and sit there and watch the games, which I don't know if she has this year or not, but she doesn't. She's not Paul. I know she has to, I think she thinks she has to say that she cares, but she shows it with her actions. She doesn't give a rip.
Mm.
So right there is the problem. Jody Allen needs to sell the Blazers. That right there is it, probably full stop. But if you want to go further, I feel like the leadership that she hired, Joe Cronin, he's MIA. So what you're talking about, look, I think we all know that they don't want to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but that's...
We all know that.
Yeah, but I think that's my point. If you asked Chauncey that...
No, he knows that.
I don't think that's his plan.
Well, okay, but that he doesn't have a choice because he doesn't have any good players.
Mm.
So, and he knows that. I think that, and that's the problem. He is a pawn in the game. Mm-hmm. I think that Joe, I honestly think Joe Cronin needs to come. Like, when's the last time you heard from Joe Cronin? He's eerily silent.
Like after the draft, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think he's all that comfortable in, you know, doing media stuff anyway. He's not that well respected around the league. And early returns, even though we do need to let him see this rebuild through, early returns are, this is bad. There's no real promise.
No.
But I think the least he could do, even though he doesn't have great direction from his owner, the least he could do is come out and just say, guys, we are trying our ass off. I want you to try your ass off. This is not necessarily about wins and losses, but we need to get better. Chauncey, you're the man to do that. Like, bring everybody together, right? And tell the people of Portland that. Say, hey, listen, we thank you for coming out and spending money to come watch us play. We're not going to be the best team in the league. We know that. We haven't been for 3 years, but guess what? We are working our ass off to get better. We're putting some young guys out there, and they're going to take their lumps. It takes time. But Chauncey's our guy. We want him to build them up. And we showed you that because we kept him away from Phoenix. Yeah. Of course, we haven't really showed you that because we didn't extend him. See, and that's another mixed signal.
Yeah.
And he's probably getting pissed off about it.
Yep.
And so I don't think it's that hard as a leader, a GM, to get everyone on the same page, even though the goal is not really about wins and losses. No. It's more about, because like teams tank, but nobody ever goes as far as to say, the group that we have on the floor is not trying their ass off.
Yeah.
Right? The way they tank is guys get, you shut guys down. Mm-hmm. You get, you play more young guys or you trade better players.
You don't make offseason moves.
You don't just throw a team out there and nobody really knows what's going on and they're trying to get better, but then the coach knows that he's supposed to lose 60 games. It's just, there appears to be a real lack of leadership.
Yeah.
And I do point the finger first at Jody.
Mm-hmm.
But second, unless I'm missing something behind the scenes, Joe Cronin's MIA.
Yeah. Well, I'll take it a step further. And this is just kind of, again, just off the top of my head. You got Jody, who eventually has to sell the team, but says she's not selling the team anytime soon. That's weird. Is it her or is it Bert that's making decisions? And then we go to Chauncey, who doesn't want to be here, but is forced to be here because they wouldn't let him go to Phoenix, but they wouldn't extend him. That's weird. In the offseason, you went out and got, you know, Denny, who you think, when you looked at him, hey, a nice young up-and-coming player, he's already been demoted in his role and is really struggling. So that's weird because, again, you would think by making that, you signals that you're trying to win games. And Chauncey said that he thought this could be a play-in team. That's not the case. Then you got Ant, who is Ant getting traded or not? Does Ant want to be here? Because you keep hearing that, like, that Ant's going to be the odd man out. So what's he playing for? Is he playing to win or is he playing to get his so that he can get the hell out of here and show that he can be a starter on a contending team? Then you got Scoot. Scoot's just trying to prove that he's not a bust and he can actually be a starter in the league. I'm assuming that puts some pressure on him every time he does get minutes because he's getting limited. You know, he's not getting starter minutes. And he's just trying to, at this point, again, prove he's not a bust. Forget generational prospect. Is he a building block? God knows what DeAndre Ayton thinks. Like, I have no idea. That you want to talk about empty stats. And then you got Jeremy Grant as your best player. And you would assume that Jeremy Grant wants to be dealt to like a contending team. But Jeremy Grant seems content to just be here, which is kind of weird, right?
And they're all playing for themselves.
And exactly. And I think that's when you listen to like what Robert Williams said in Klingon, when he said, we got to get out of our own heads and stop playing for ourselves and kind of get back to a team concept. I just don't know how you take a collection of talent that isn't that good to begin with. And you've got nine guys pulling in nine different directions, including the head coach, and then expect it to be anything other than an unmitigated disaster.
Well, you can't do that because the coach has already been neutered and the players know that. That's why I say it. I go back to the GM. He's got to do a better job of pulling everyone together.
Yeah.
We all know they're tanking and rebuilding.
But my problem with the tank is whether you're 4 years into this or 2 years into this, right? However you want to label your tank, because you pulled the cord twice and now it's the second year where you're like, you suck. Again, I ask the question, can you say definitively or even like with any sort of remote certainty that there's a single guy here that is a foundational piece to a championship level rebuild.
Nope.
And that to me is the biggest problem.
Well, that goes back to Cronin then.
Yes.
I mean, again, it goes back to Cronin. It's the early returns on the rebuild are not good.
Yeah.
And that can put you in purgatory for a long, long time. Now, they still have one more year of this at least.
Sure.
But I think the community is getting fed up. Yeah. And this goes back. Well, let's put a pin in it and we'll come back and finish this convo off coming up next. Because this goes back to something we've been talking about here for quite a long time. And that's accountability for that franchise. There really isn't any. That's next on The Fan.
Guys, move on.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't know. We're going to wrap up the Blazers convo here. We'll get to some college football at the top of the hour. I believe it's going to be our college football Tempranillo today.
Look at that.
Which is a delightful varietal of red wine from Spain. But, yeah, I just think that, and this is something we've talked about so many times, that the Trailblazers in this town are allowed to operate with very little accountability. Mm-hmm. And while we do have the Timbers and the Thorns here, and that's great, and they have carved out their own niche in the city quite well, you could argue better than the Blazers in at least current times. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Blazers go way back. The Blazers are part of this, are fabric of this community.
Yes.
And despite the Timbers and Thorns' presence, there really isn't another big game in town that is taking... that is holding the Blazers. It's like pushing them. It's competition. Yeah. There really isn't that. Taking money away from the Blazers. So they just sort of keep screwing you over.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've said this so many times. I just wish the community here would be a little harder on them. I know we're a great fan base here and everybody's really, they just love their Blazers and just happy to have them, but you need to demand more. And I think that we're getting to a place where the community may be ready in some ways to bite back. And I hope that they do, because I don't know why anyone would pay good money to go see this franchise. It's a bad owner. It's a bad GM. It's a neutered coach. They have no stars. And this is what bad franchises look like and feel like. And yeah, you are one. And that's bad because you haven't always been that way. Under Paul Allen,
you were great.
You were always going to the playoffs. You were always trying to win. That doesn't mean all the years were great. Certainly the Jailblazers, that was a whole moment in time that was awful. There have been certainly highs and lows here.
But it's been excellent.
But it's been a really good franchise, yeah, and the one that the NBA can be proud of. It is not that anymore. It has turned into a joke, yeah, and Jody is a joke. And it doesn't stop until you call them out on it.
Yeah. And for me, I guess I agree with everything you said, because it does start at the top. I guess if I'm taking that's a real 30,000 foot view. I want to zoom in to just like a court side view, because when I look around the NBA and you think about tanking, right? And why do you tank? What's the only reason you tank, right? Is so that you get
better
picks.
Players.
But if you don't hit on draft picks, and by the way, I'm not talking about hitting doubles, because the NBA is littered with teams that hit doubles, and guess where they're at?
The bottom.
The bottom. you know, go through and the Toronto Raptors and, you know, whether it's OG or Siakam or Scottie Barnes and then the Wizards and the Hornets and the Pistons. How many years did the Pistons, right? Get, you know, from Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and all these guys and Sacramento for years and years did this. And you end up with decent players like when they drafted Buddy Hield or Tyreek Evans. And these guys are solid NBA players. And guess what it means? Jack S. The NBA is littered with guys that are like, oh, yeah, the guy's like a 16-6 guy.
Yeah, they also took Marvin Bagley when they could have taken Luka Doncic.
Exactly, so, and like, it means things nothing. Like that happens. And my bigger fear in all this, despite what you said, is 100% like, oh, crap. It's that right now it feels like when you look at the guys that they tanked for, Shaedon Sharpe, Ant, Scoot, and Klingon's too early, but you know, Klingon, you knew he's a project, but he can't play 20 minutes. He's not in shape. And maybe he has a Kevin Love resurgence and his body improves and he gets an NBA shape and he ends up being a huge difference maker. But his ceiling was always viewed as what? Just a nice, solid, like role player, not necessarily a star because the draft didn't have that. But the other players that you brought in that were supposed to be the foundation, boy, they certainly look like a lot of those other guys that end up being also-rans on bad teams, or they get traded 5, 6, 7 years down the road, and they end up being the fourth best player on a nice contending team. That's my biggest
fear. So you want a new GM then? Is that what you're saying?
Either that, or he's got to start finding better drafts, or he's got to start finding a better way to do this. And I get that it's harder than just saying, hey, that's the guy that we need to go get. But ultimately, that is your job. And tell me. I just don't believe that in a rebuild, if you've got Damian Lillard and you've got LaMarcus, fine. Hit doubles all you want. What was that Kevin Pritchard, right? You've got the cake. Now you need the icing. But you can't keep drafting icing when you don't have any cake. So, yes, ultimately, if you have another year and you miss and you grab another guy that 2 years from now ends up just being another, oh, God, he's a solid player but doesn't move the needle, for God's sakes, find someone that can.
Well, that again goes back to Jody because she's going to be the one that has to find a new GM. She's the one that hired this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy's not respected around the league. So, and he's young, he's very inexperienced. He's clearly not doing a good job. So you think she's going to go find you the right guy? I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's just,
she eventually has to be, it's just a weird,
it's a rudderless ship and it's not going to get any better until she sells.
Yeah.
End of story. That really is it.
Yeah. And the other
either
problem,
that or they get lucky in the draft.
The other problem, Isaac, I think, is that, like, I agree with the wanting to push back and talk with your wallet, but there are enough cities now that want an NBA team that if you decide you're going to stop showing up, you could be pushing your team out of the city. I think that's unlikely, but we've seen that happen other places where fans get fed up that ownership isn't doing well, and they're like, hey, this other city over here, they don't have a team. They don't care how you run it. They just want something. We'll take it. And so I think it's hard for the fans to, like, demand more because the only way you can do it is with money, and then you're playing a game that you can't afford to lose.
Well, I think that's, well, I don't think the only way you can do it is with money. I think that the community leaders, season ticket holders, prominent people here can get together and voice their displeasure. I think that could go a long way. And I think that that's already in the works from what I understand. I think that, yes, the average guy, the average Joe could vote with his wallet. And you're right. I think that's a fair thing to say that fans may be scared that Joe's going to pull him to Seattle or whatever. But I also, you know, I feel like that fear is a little bit overblown around here.
Maybe.
I think that the NBA knows how great the Portland market is and has been, and how great the fans have been here for this team and supported this team. And I also think that what happened with the Seattle team, I don't know, they don't want a repeat of that in the Northwest.
No.
So I get what you're saying about that, but I don't think that's a reason to not hold them accountable or at least voice your displeasure. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, certainly not to voice it, but yeah.
I don't know. You know, the other thing about this town, there's a lot of prominent big-time sports people here.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about Nike, just basketball. Just keep it to basketball. If you think about the basketball people that are here, whether it be Nike or Adidas, it's a very unique community in that way. There's a lot of actually really influential people here. And the Blazers, they don't tap into that at all.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they alienate them. And this goes back to an absentee owner.
Yeah.
So it's a mess. It really is.
Yeah.
It's an absolute mess.
And it's sad because it's...
It is. The fans are great here.
It should be a cornerstone of the
yep.
of the city.
Yep.
It's just,
and you know, and somebody else told me this the other day, and they were so right. This was a business owner in town said, you know, the Blazers are such a big part of our community, and there is such bad crap going on here, and has been for 5 years. The one thing that we could always count on for the most part was the Blazers lifting us up when we're going through some crap. Well, now they suck. Now they have piled onto this Portland sucks and will never get better, and there's all these problems. And that's, they have a, I don't know about civic duty, but they are a, the Blazers should be a pillar of the community to help lift people up and bring people together.
Yeah.
And it's not doing that anymore.
No.
And so what is it good for? It's just, it's a joke.
Hope.
It's an absolute joke.
I guess hope.
Keep hoping.
Yeah.
Keep hoping with this owner.
Capture
but we'll
the
see.
Flag, right? I mean, maybe that one guy.
Yeah, if you get lucky in the draft.
But even then, that's a
ping pong. Yeah, flags!
But, you know,
think about how close you were to Wemby.
Yeah, but think about, but look at Wemby. I mean, Wemby is in San Antonio, and he's going to be dynamite. Already is.
But it's not yet.
And he has a Hall of Fame coach. I know he's sick right now, but, and they're not any good.
No.
You know, so this takes, that's what's scary about this. Is
it takes
like
a while.
Nobody sees any light at the end of the tunnel. It's a long-ass way off. And it's just like.
Cooper Flagg doesn't turn this around in a year.
And if I'm Chaunce, I'm bailing.
Well, he tried.
I'm out of here.
He tried.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the end of the year,
he's gone.
They didn't extend him anyway. I'm going to a better.
And I do. I feel bad for him because that's not what he signed up for.
I'm going to a better organization. All right, our college football Tempranillo coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.